Okay, we're going to carry on. So I'd like to introduce in a virtual way Rob Claiborne from Fabric. He's sitting in France, I believe, Rob?
Yes, right, yeah. Hi, good morning.
So I'm going to stop talking and Rob's going to start talking. At the end, we're going to have some questions. And what we'll do is we'll just feed the questions through this mic and then Rob will give us some answers.
Rob. My name's Rob Claiborne, and this is a talk about Fabric, which is an open source Joomla application builder. And if you want to find out a little bit more, it's our website at the bottom there, which is fabrica.com. So first of all, a little bit about me. That's my face there, so you can wave to me virtually. I run a company called Pollinate Design, and we specialize in doing Joomla projects, and our main project is Fabric. I'm British, living in France, and I also, in my spare time, coach a bit of badminton, so I do get out from the desk occasionally. Okay, so what is Fabric? Well, fundamentally, obviously, Fabric is a form builder, but it's a bit more than that also. It allows you to create tables or reports of your data submitted. It allows you to, it's a data exchange, so you can export and import data in various formats, and it's extensible, so you can add in things to it. And we have versions native to both Joomla 1 and 1.5. Why use Fabric? Well, first of all, what I'm personally really, really proud of is our large active community. On our forum, we have over 14,000 posts and 5,900 members. And a lot of those members are really active as well, so it's a good, vibrant community. Fabric, in its various guises, has been supported and developed for over 4 years. So we're really committed to this product and helping people out and improving it. It's a comprehensive solution, so whilst there are loads of form builders out there for Joomla, which is great, that gives loads of competition and loads of choices to people, what we're trying to do is trying to produce something that is pretty powerful. The code is open source, so it's GPL version 2. So you can change it, modify it, and it goes into the spirit of how Joomla works. And also we run subscription plans. Now this is a kind of odd one for why you should use it, but I just want to point out that via the fact that we do provide subscription plans which are paid for, this provides an enormous amount of time that we can spend on Fabric supporting and developing it, which wouldn't really be possible without them. Okay, so let's move on to the anatomy of a Fabric form. So here we've got a really, really simple form, which is you can install when you install Fabric. So at the top, we've got the contact us, we've got the title and a little introduction. And here we then have groups. Now groups are logical containers for elements. They're kind of the equivalent of field sets in a form. So we've got a title and then we have elements. So here we just have a couple of text fields in the first group, the contact details, and then we have a second group, so you can have more than one group in a form, and we have a text area there, and at the bottom we have action buttons. So that's a really simple example of a form, and I'm just going to break that down into the various sections and speak a little bit more about each of them. So groups, as I just mentioned, they're logical containers for elements. So you can repeat groups, which allows you to quickly add in sets of data. Say, for example, you wanted to record more than one message in your contact us form. You could enable the repeat group option for the group. It would add in some buttons, and you'd be able to repeat the group. Groups can be styled individually by adding some CSS in, and they can also be set to be visible or hidden. This allows you to turn on and off groups depending on certain actions that you've selected elsewhere in your form. Okay, elements. This is really the meat of the form. These are the widgets for data input. So we have, in Fabric 1, we have 13 types of widgets or elements. We have field, text area, radio buttons, checkboxes, drop-down, uploads, dates, buttons, links. So those are your kind of standard data input ones. We then have some static ones which just allow you to present information, which are text and images. And then we also have a couple of interesting ones at the end, which are database joins and usernames. The username one allows you to enter to record the ID or the name or the email address of the person filling in the form, presuming that they're logged in. And then the database join one allows you to look up data in another table. So for example, if you wanted to show all the content, that create a drop down of all the content articles in your Joomla site, you could point the database join element to that table and create a drop down. The advantage of this is when someone added in a new content item to your site, the drop down would also update itself to include that title. Elements have various access levels for use and for read-only. So this has a great advantage for example, for creating a publishing system. So we can have authors who, we can have a published element type, which is a radio button with a yes or no, which is only accessible to publishers. So your authors can come in, they can create a piece of information, and then the publisher can come in at a later stage, and it's only them that has the ability to set the published option to true. So then we go on to validations. Now validations are either pre-built or custom. So validations are when you submit a form, it checks the data that you've submitted to ensure that it's correct. So we have three pre-built in validations, which are to check that it's not empty, to check that it's a valid email address, or to check that it's alphanumeric. You can also then create custom validations using regular expressions, which would allow you theoretically to check for something like a postal code or a telephone number, depending on which country you live in. An advancement on validations are filters, which basically, that instead of just returning that there was an error, it will change the data submitted in the form. So for example, if you had a text area, you could create a filter to strip out any PHP or JavaScript that someone was trying to inject into your forms. And then finally, we have JavaScript actions. So this allows you to add in specific bits of JavaScript to your elements. So for example, when the element is clicked on, some JavaScript is fired, or when you move the cursor out from the element, the action is fired. Okay, and what bundles all that together, of course, is the form itself. So forms have publishing and access control levels. So you can set a start and end publish date. You can set who can edit the form or add information into the form. The forms are also completely templatable. So we provide, I think, three default templates to give you an idea of how things work. And they're just simple HTML and PHP files with CSS, which allow you to quickly style and modify the look of the form. When the form is submitted, you can set up email notifications. So, for example, you know, just to inform the administrator that the form has been submitted and maybe of an action that they're required to do. And again, the email notifications can, if required, be templated with either HTML templates or PHP templates. You can also set up a receipt. So if someone has filled in their email address in the form, you can send a receipt back to that email address informing them that the form was submitted correctly. Okay, so once the emails are sent, you can set up a jump page or a thanks message. The jump page just takes your browser to a new URL, or the thanks message just tells the user that their form has been submitted correctly. The thanks message can include information entered in the form. And then you can also run some custom PHP on the submission of the form if you require to. And finally, you can also record the information submitted in the form to a database table. Which brings us nicely onto reports and tables. Okay, I'm going to, same thing as with the forms, I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of what's the anatomy of a Fabric table. So again, title, description at the top, there's an add record button, and then we have filters, which allow you to filter the data. The actual data itself underneath with a little table, again that's kind of taken from the contact us form example. And then at the bottom you have the navigation to navigate through the records. Okay, so adding data into your tables, or creating tables from data. As I said already, you can get your data, you can create tables from your existing Fabric forms, but you can also turn that completely on its head and you can create forms and groups and elements from existing database tables. So you'd create a new Fabric table, point it at a database table, and Fabric will then go away and just create all the forms, all the elements, and all the groups required for that table. So that's pretty powerful. That's quite a time-saving feature for people that want to design their databases in something else, and then just point Fabric at it, and it's going to create all your forms for you. And then also, another thing is you don't actually have to store those tables in your Joomla database. You can actually store it in another MySQL database, and you'd access that by creating a connection to that database. Okay, so once you've got your data in to your table, there are various ways you can manipulate it. Whoops, sorry. Okay, so you can create calculations. So for each column, you can create sum, averages, totals, mean calculations, assuming that's obviously on numerical data columns. You can order the data, so you can select a column to be ordered. So filters allow you to, they can either be drop downs, text fields, or ranges, which allow you to filter your data. So for example, you can choose dates between a start and end date, or you can choose to show records with only a certain value. You can also have an advanced filter, which allows you to create more complex statements for filtering your data. You can also create pre-filters, which are run before the table is rendered and can't be edited by the front-end user. This, for example, would allow you to show only published pieces of content, or allow you to show only certain types of information to certain people. And finally, you can actually translate all your data with Joomfish. Okay, so I'm going to run through a couple of advanced features in tables. So first of all, we have group data. So the top diagram here shows our contact us data, so it's like a normal table. And then if we went in to edit the table in administrator, which is the second diagram, and we select the data tab, we can then select the group by email option, and that will then split the table up into mini tables, each with the same email address. So if you look here at the bottom, we have the first table with the email address robert.test.com twice, and then underneath you have two more subtables with the individual email addresses. So this is quite a nice way of displaying information related to, you know, when you have large sets of data that need to be grouped into logical chunks. And then also what's makes Fabric really powerful, well, in my opinion, is table joins. So this might, depending on your level of experience, this might be a bit hard to grasp in a very short lecture, but I'm going to try anyway. On the left here, well, on my left, I hope it's yours, I guess so, there is a representation of two tables. So the top one is a table of classes, and then the bottom one is a table of students that attend those classes. So on the classes table, we've got an ID and a class name, and on the students table, again, we've got an ID, their full name, their age, and the class ID, which refers to the class they're attending. Now, what makes Fabric great is we can create, obviously, a table for classes, which would then just contain the ID and class name, and then we can then create a join in completely within the GUI of Fabric, saying join the classes table to the students table, so that where the student's class ID equals the class's ID, and this will create a merged table of data for us, as you can see on the right hand side here, where we have the first two records are for the first record in classes, and we can see that we've got two guys who are in that class, Ryan Adams and Jeff Mills, and then we have a second class with a different person in it as well. Now, the advantage of this, it keeps all your data separate. Each table, database table, contains information that's purely related to itself, and the relationship is created with a join. So that's the kind of way that Joomla works itself, and it's probably the best way to manage complex relationships. Yep, it's normalized data. Thank you, Alex. It's very true, yeah. Okay, so moving on to the data exchange. This getting data in and out of Fabric should be relatively easy. So first of all, we can create RSS feeds from your table. This allows you to publish feeds to, you know, things like Google Reader based on your data. You can choose which elements are shown in the feed, which one's the title, which one's the feed date, etc. You can also export to CSV files, that's comma separated variable files, and from those files you can then import that file into things like Access or Excel for further manipulation if you required. You can also import CSV files back into Fabric. So for this, you can, for example, you can create a new Fabric table from a CSV file, and again it's going to create all the elements and groups for you automatically, or you can import into existing Fabric table, and it's going to try and match the best way possible the data to your existing table, and if there's some discrepancies, it's going to flag that up for you and give you a choice about what you want to do with it. And we also have our own XML packages, which are zip files that contain XML files to recreate Fabric tables for you. So you can select a table or several tables, export it, and then import it to a new site if required. Okay, so extending Fabric. I'm just going to cover probably everything that we've mentioned previously, but just to reiterate it. Okay, we have various templates we can use within Fabric for forms, for tables, and for emails. They kind of use standard PHP, HTML, CSS, as this is something that most people are going to be familiar with more than some fancy specific templating language, and it corresponds with how Joomla does it now as well. We also have JavaScript events which we can attach to elements or to forms, and we have custom validations we can write in the form of regular expressions. Okay, so everything that I've talked about up to now is related to both Fabric 2 and Fabric 1, but we're in the process of going towards release candidate for Fabric 2, and I just thought I'd mention what's really new and what's exciting in this upcoming release. So first of all, we have plugins. They're everywhere. I'm just so excited about this bit. We have plugins for elements. So for example, you can create new element types. So we have things like captures, Google Maps, sliders, draggable things, everything within a complete API that should be allowing people to easily create their own elements to plug into Fabric. We have form processes. So for example, I've written one which allows you to send an SMS message when you submit the form. Again, these things can be written fairly easily. We have table plugins. So for example, you can add in new features to manipulate your table rows. So I've just currently written one for that which allows you to select rows and copy them to duplicate them. We've got validations. So you can create a custom validation to validate a specific data that you want to input. And we also have visualizations, and I'll talk a little bit more about visualizations further down the page. One thing to note, that it's native to Joomla 1.5. Just like Fabric 1 won't run on Joomla 1.5, Fabric 2 is native to Joomla 1.5. We also then have packages. Now these allow you to create single page Ajax applications with multiple tables and forms and views, and each time you do something on that page, the other parts of the page are updated. So for example, we can load in the table, click the edit button, and it's going to automatically load up the form containing the information. You press save on the form, and it's going to automatically update the table. So basically, the packages allow you to create these applications that are intuitive to use and don't require multiple page refreshes to input data, to view data, to manipulate it. So next we have visualizations. Now the idea behind visualizations is to take several Fabric tables and to present the information in a more relevant manner. So, for example, we have calendars, which could take date information from your tables and present that as a JavaScript calendar. Timelines, which are another view on a similar type of data. We've got Google charts, so you can create line charts, bar charts, pie charts, etc. Again, based on the data you've collected in your Fabric tables. And we also have a Google Maps visualization, which links into the Google Maps element, which will show multiple markers on on a page. And again, the visualizations are pluginable, so you can write your own visualization and it won't interfere with the core Fabric code. We also have multi-page forms, which will allow you to span forms over multiple pages. This is great if you've got a really long form, which people may be coming back to, like over a certain number of days. So, as the next point says, it allows you to come back and edit unfinished forms. And when the form is finished, it finally submits it fully to the database table. And we also have AJAX validations. This means that when people are submitting a form, they get feedback automatically about whether the data entered in the form is valid. The advantage of this over JavaScript validations is that the validation still occurs on the server side, which means a much more secure way of validating your data. Okay, so I'm just going to wrap up with a couple of examples. First of all, probably should load this up previously. But I'll just load them in the background. Okay, so this is one site that we did towards the middle of last year, which is Forest Food, which is a local food producing company. Well, they resell for other producers, and it ties in with just log in. And it ties in with VirtueMark tables and with Community Builder tables. So the project was a bit worried that the VirtueMark tables and the admin interface was going to be quite difficult for lots of different vendors to manage. So we went along and created some Fabric tables that allowed these users to edit their data in a specific manner. So for example, here we've got the products. You can edit them. It's a table with all the information, well, the relevant information, so we've just filtered out things people don't need to see. Just wait for that to load. On the left here we have things like the order books that shows the orders for that user. So here's a form, there's a validation there, you know, they have to have the name. So we've got the image, what stock it is, when it's available. Here's an example of a repeat group. I'll scroll it down a little bit further. So, because in VirtueMart, as it's a relational database, the prices are separate to the product. So here we've linked into a group for the product pricing, and we can add in multiple prices. So we can set in a new price here for a different shopper group. Well, they've only got a default shopper group. For a different quantity, for example. Okay, so that's kind of a complex example. That's using Fabric 2, early version of Fabric 2. This is some stuff that some of our users have done. So this guy here, he's done a website for designing your own speedboat. Kind of thing we do every half weekend, I guess. It's taking the time. Just scroll down, if it will let me. So it's just a normal page here, and here's the price your boat button. Not sure that... there you go. So again, this guy has done... this is all Fabric Forms, he's done his own templating. So you can choose some different options. It will change the total price for you, so he's done some JavaScript actions to total the price. This could end up being quite expensive for me. I hope you guys are paying me well for today. Oh no, you're not. well, let's not be too greedy. So there you go, there's a summary of the options, and that's been emailed to those guys. Let's leave it there before I get any further. So that's, you know, an e-commerce solution that someone's done, which would have taken, you know, there's no code, well, apart from the JavaScript, there wasn't any kind of custom coding there. And this is a, for you Spanish speakers out there, a Spanish site for listing missing people, which I thought was a really great idea. So it's quite serious, not too fun to finish the series with, but you know, it's a great example of how you can create socially useful and viable applications which have a purpose using Fabric. Okay, well, I think I'm done. Any questions? Limitations with respect to what? As in limiting what data people can see, or?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so a lot of the other form builders I've used, you can get fairly decent reports on the back end. On the front end, you're very limited. Are there any limitations on what you can do to generate reports from the data on the front end?
No, it's exactly the same. What you can see in the admin is what you can set up in the front end.
Okay, sweet. Okay, cool. Thanks. What was the other question? The other question is, can an event management system be built using Fabric?
Definitely, yeah.
Did you hear that one? CSV import from the front end?
In version 2 you can, but in version 1 you can't.
Matt wants to know if you can show the web page from Chile.
The web page from Chile? This one?
With Stuart. Web page from Chile with Stuart. How's that for a vague brief, eh?
What's that for? I don't understand the question. sorry?
Achmet, A-C-H-M-E-T. This is a question from Matt. It's a site that you helped him with.
What's the address? Do you want to type in the address? I'm not sure what it is anymore.
We don't know either, eh? Okay. Okay. Matt's going to rack his brains, and we'll carry on with other questions.
Okay.
Any others? Stunned silence.
Yeah, well, there's kind of quite a lot, and I kind of rushed through a lot. I hope it was understandable. It's quite hard sitting here on my own to sort of gauge whether people are phasing out or not.
Yeah, and the next question was that food site that you showed us, is there an author and publisher approval system in that one? The one where people were editing their products on that food site?
Yeah, I think so. Hang on, let's bring it up. I think I was logged in as the administrator, so I got some weird stuff.
It's under my products, I think it was. Huh?
Basically, each forest... Virtual Mart has the ability to create different vendors. So because I'm the administrator, I see all vendors' products. But if I was a vendor, I'd only be able to see and edit my own products. Mm-hmm. But I don't actually have a login for a vendor. Mm-hmm. So there's a published option here. So that's an example of what I was talking about. And that wouldn't be available to producers.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Just going back to the subscriptions that you're running, how's it going?
Yeah.
Based on what we're going to talk about.
Okay. Question from Ryan from the JC editor. He's doing a talk just now on commercial developments and business models.
Yep.
And he's just curious what you could say about your subscription model and how it's working for you.
Well, I think the subscriptions have been pretty steady since we started. We get, I can give you some stats. Let me just find out for you. Hold on a second. We get about 2 subscriptions a day, I think, on average. So I'm just looking at the admin to see how many we've got. Yeah, so it's about 2 a day when we're going for a year. So we've, you know, around about 900 subscribers. Yeah, it's quite a big step, and it's not been particularly easy at the beginning to set it up, and been quite difficult to meet or to gauge or to meet people's expectations. You have, and it's really interesting to like see different areas of the community. You have people that that don't subscribe, that that demand a lot of time from you, which is cool because we're here to improve the product. And then you have other people that that subscribe and really want to invest in the community as well, and they see the subscription more as helping out. And there's other people that see the subscription as really buying professional services, it's very hard to kind of manage all these different views on what you're doing, I find. But it's good because it means that I can work on Fabric full-time, pretty much, or 70% of my time. And I wouldn't have been able to do that without subscriptions, and we wouldn't have any documentation, we wouldn't have any video tutorials, we wouldn't have any of this type of stuff, because it wouldn't really, you know, it wouldn't have been my, I wouldn't have had time to do it. I'm really happy. I'm really happy with the model and the fact that the software is still free, and, you know, you kind of gauge, and you gauge your offering towards those people, so it's good, I think, yeah.
Buying a subscription and then redistributing, although it's allowed with the GPL. Do you have any problems with that you know of?
We had one guy trying to swap documentation with another user who for another subscription piece of documentation. I'm not sure how much the guy who was approached reported the user to us, which is nice of him. But because, you know, the software, people can do what they like with it, really. So I think the possibly the advantage that Fabric has is that it is pretty complicated, and there is a lot to learn, and there's a lot of things you can do. So therefore, that raises more questions than possibly a lot of other components. So I think that's really where we're trying to sell ourselves, is in the knowledge we have about the product and the time and the response rates we can give to subscribers compared to normal users.
So you've got different licenses for your documentation?
Sorry, what was that?
Different licenses for your documentation.
Creative Commons or something like that?
Not really. I don't really have a license policy on the documentation yet. I mean, it's copyrighted to myself, to the project, and we have a wiki on the site, which is not really used by anyone, which is a shame. It's very, you know, it's kind of out of date and not really up to date. And I was kind of hoping that people that didn't really want to, you know, to fork out for the documentation would be more the experienced users, and they'd possibly give back in terms of that. But I think that was a bit idealistic, and there's, you know, there's been a couple of people adding stuff, but it's not a roaring success, really. I'm breaking again.
Yeah. Are there any other questions? I think we'll take a second. Yeah.
How easy is it to use the Fabric? Yeah.
Okay. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think this is a slight, there is a learning curve, and that's something we're going to be addressing once Fabric 2 is out. We've got a prototype for a drag and drop builder that we're working on, but there is a kind of conceptual leap to go through, especially because of the groups. I think that's kind of the thing that people don't really get. So it kind of depends on your. It's not the easiest and it's not the hardest, I'd say. It's kind of, and that's something that we really want to focus on in the future, because we've built something that's powerful, but we really want to, you know, provide a smoother learning curve for people at the beginning. And Fabric 2 does a lot of things automatically for you that Fabric 1 doesn't, especially resolving regarding groups and database creation and things like that. So we're working towards it, and it's, but yeah, we could do better.
Rob, Matt just suggested that if you're able to, if you just show us, if you just go into the back end of the form builder and just show us, like, you know, make a group, make an element.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Let's see what the interface looks like for just the basic form.
Yeah, let's try to think of a. Now, I'll just get the address in another. Okay, this is Fabric 2. I don't remember my own login. Here we go. So, generally I work kind of starting off with tables. So, you create a new table.
Sorry, just my question while you're writing that.
Yep.
So let's say I made an application in Fabric and then I wanted to package that and distribute it. Would I have to would my users have to install Fabric and then install a package, or could I bundle it into some kind of Joomla component with an installer zip file?
No, you'd have to install Fabric first. Yeah.
And what's the learning curve for basic users in terms of bringing in a whole application that's been built in Fabric?
Install it. I can't show you in Fabric 2 because it's not there yet, but you'd install Fabric, and then you go to tables, import, select your package, and that should be it. You'd have to make menu links, but that's it. So here you can choose your database connection. You can choose a table you want to link to. So link to the content table. Check that it's published. So it's got some publishing options, RSS options, CSV options there. So that should be all I need to do. Save the table. So there's our test content table. So if we go to the forms, did that click or not? Nope. So there's a test form that we got. The group, it should have automatically created the group as well. Didn't click. So there's a test group with a number of elements. So these are all our elements. We'd filter it by the test group. As you can see, that corresponds with your JOS content table. It tries to make a best guess about what element type it is. Defaulting a text field, but for things like the intro text, it's set up as a text area. The created is set up as a date. Maybe you want to set that up as modified, created by, that could be a database join, for example, to the user table. I'm not sure I've got any content. No, I don't have any content. Just going to add a listing in. So this is what you could see on the front end as well. That's still loading. Okay, so here's the form that's been created for you.
While you're loading that, I've got another question. Yeah. You know, often in desperation, I use like an SQL injection to pull a whole lot of information into data, and I always tend to end up sweating, worrying about relationships with other tables not being created at the same time. So I look, for example, that you've got a table that can edit, or you've got a system that will edit a content item. Is there any protection or any way of making sure that you don't end up making an item in one table that's supposed to have a corresponding relationship with another table? I don't know if I'm explaining myself correctly. Do you understand what I'm saying? So like, for example, editing the community builder table but not creating a user in the Joomla users table. Anyway, I'm watching that within Fabric.
No, there's no particular... Well, that's time. I've got a problem with the server there. Okay. I can't show you that. No, there's no kind of logic in terms of ensuring relationships between sets of data. The way it's managed is with a database join elements. So if you created your community builder user, you could the field, the link to the user ID, could be a database join, which would ensure that you'd either have selected an existing user, or you can set it up so that you can bring up a form which would add in the user before you saved your community builder user.
Okay.
This isn't loading.
Yeah, we have latency issues as well. I mean, where is this being run?
That's from the States as well, I think. Okay. Not sure what else to show you on that.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Eh? I think we can wrap up on that.
Yeah.
Unless you've got a nifty visualization to show us over Google chart, because that'll get us all drooling, I'm sure.
I'm not sure I've got any data in here. That's a problem.
Yeah.
I can show you the interface at least.
What are the limitations of Fabric? What can't you do with a plugin? And make coffee.
Well, any of the kind of internal logic that's already there is going to be quite hard to mess with, I guess. And the plugin stuff is still pretty new, so there's going to be things that you're going to think you should be able to do that you can't possibly. I mean, I'll keep coming up with things like that, so I'll keep adding them in. So it's kind of still an evolving API as to what we can and can't do. But the idea is that I'm trying to get away from kind of doing everything and bundling it all into the core code of Fabric. I'm trying to make Fabric as not streamlined, but as compact as possible, and then allowing people to add in what they need. It can't learn. Oh, lean. Yes, sorry.
Yeah.
Is it approaching something like an almost unlimited application builder, rather than just the first perception might be that it can build some fancy forms. I mean, it's obviously going way faster.
Yeah, this is the marketing problem that we kind of have. Because we're in the extension directory, which we get most of our traffic from, we're listed as in the form section, which makes sense. It certainly made sense at the beginning, but now we're kind of more than that, and I think we're I think we do have a slight problem, because you can do so much as to how you sell yourself and how you promote yourself. I think Drupal with CCK, they've done a really good. It's really clear proposition about what that's about, and we're yet to get there, I guess, really.
But for potential users sitting here, just to realise that short of being able to write your own component, this might be a good place to start if you don't have PHP.
Yeah, I mean that's where we want to be, really. And we just need to do more communication on that, and
Yeah. Okay, I think we're going to end it there because we're getting hungry.
It's 12. So that's just a list of the forms you can, the charts you can, yeah, you can select from Google, and you can select the connection, and I'm not sure, it might take a while to load up, but then you can select the table, the elements and the colours and the axis and stuff like that. Okay.
Alright. Yeah, any more questions, we'll get them to send them via your website. Yeah. Alright, thanks so much, that was really cool.
Alright, thanks, good luck, have fun for the rest of the day.
Okay. Thanks.
Alright, cheers guys.
Cheers.